Today, we will be reading Matthew chapter 27, verses 51 through 66. Before we begin reading, let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for the cross. Thank you for your sacrifice that you made for us. Lord, I pray that as we read today, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, show us things that we haven't seen before. Help us see it in a fresh and new way. Lord, I pray that you would lead us and guide our understanding, that we would know you in a better way, that we would see how this story connects to our lives, open our hearts to understand, and guide us, Lord. Help us see it and hear your message for us today. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 through 66. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely, he was the Son of God." Many women were there, watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has risen from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. Okay. Today, we read about several different things. We saw what happened immediately following the death of Jesus. So as we look at this, I want to actually work backwards from the end of what we read to the beginning, because the beginning has, I think, the most important thing that I want to talk about today. Let's look at the end, though. Jesus was put into a tomb, and he was put in the tomb of one of his disciples. One of his followers saw Jesus dead and wanted to serve him, wanted to respect and honor him. And so this disciple went, requested Jesus' body, had it wrapped, prepared, and put it into his own tomb. He gave his own things to Jesus, even after Jesus had died. And so he put him in his own tomb. Now, once Jesus was in the tomb, it's interesting that the chief priests had been listening to what Jesus said. They actually listened to him, and they knew that he had said he would come back to life. They knew that he had told people he was going to die and then come back to life. They knew what he had said, but they still did not believe that he would do it. In fact, they didn't even think, "I wonder if he will. If he does come back to life, then he must be the Messiah and we should follow him." Instead, they expected him not to come back to life, and they thought maybe his followers would try to lie about it. And so they tried to set up things so that his disciples could not steal the body. They made sure that this large stone in front of the tomb was sealed and that there was a guard placed there. And we'll see more about that in tomorrow's reading. But they did not believe that Jesus would rise from the dead. They didn't believe it. And they wanted to make sure that nobody else was able to pretend like it happened. Now, many people think, oh, maybe Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Maybe his disciples just made it all up. And this is what I think the leaders, the Pharisees, were afraid was going to happen. The problem is, Jesus did rise from the dead, and we'll probably talk about that more tomorrow. But for right now, they are preparing things to make sure that the body is not stolen. There's a guard there to make sure that no one comes along and steals it and then lies about it. But looking back, I want to talk about what happened when Jesus died. When he died, at the very beginning of today's reading, it's very interesting what happened. When he cried out and gave up his spirit, I noticed that he gave up his spirit. He didn't just die, but he willingly gave it. We talked about this before, that he willingly gave himself for us. It wasn't stolen from him, wasn't taken from him. His life was given for us because of love. But what happened because of that? Well, it's very interesting. When he died, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. What does that mean? Well, this is, I think, very significant. Because you have to understand, before Jesus, God had given a certain way in which people could come to him. That not just everybody could come to him, only a few select people could actually come into the presence of God. Only a few people could ever go behind that curtain. In fact, to go into the most holy place, there was only the high priest, one person. And if he had any sin in his life that he had not repented of and offered sacrifices for, if he had one sin that he was impure with, he could be killed. He would be killed by going into the presence of God without offering sacrifices to purify himself. And so, in many ways, before Jesus, people didn't have direct access to God. They were separated. They had to go through a priest. They had to go through someone else. But with Jesus and his death, something new was happening. With Jesus, there are other places in the New Testament after Jesus goes back to heaven. Later on, it talks about what this really means. And the book of Hebrews really spends a lot of time talking about who Jesus was and why that was important. We'll get to that later on this year. But one thing that it says is that Jesus was the ultimate high priest. He was the high priest. He is our high priest. And that when he offered himself, he gave himself as the sacrifice for men. And when he did that, he opened up a way for us to come before God. We are no longer separated by that curtain. We are no longer held back. Instead, through the sacrifice of Jesus, we now have access to God. And that is an amazing thing. That before we were separated, and that curtain was a picture of the separation between God and sinful man. But when Jesus gave himself as our sacrifice, he tore that separation and opened up a pathway for us to access God, for us to get to God. Now, through Jesus, we can go before God and pray. We can go before God and worship. We can stand before God clean through the blood and sacrifice of Jesus. And this is an amazing thing. Only Jesus was able to do this. He was able to give himself to cleanse us, to make us pure, so that we can be in the presence of God. And that is an amazing thing. Something to be very grateful for. But remember, it's only through Jesus. We cannot come into the presence of God some other way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's in John 14:6. He is the only way to God. And this, when the curtain tears in two, that is a beautiful picture of Jesus making a way to God. And just to demonstrate his power and what he was doing, more happened. The earth shook. The tombs broke open. Dead people came back to life and were seen by many people. No one could deny that this happened. Yet many still didn't believe and follow Jesus. What about you? Are you ready to believe? Have you placed your faith in Jesus? Do you have access to God? You can have it through Jesus. All we have to do is admit that I have sinned, that my sin separates me from God. We have to realize that there is nothing that I can do to get back to God. We have to accept and believe by faith that Jesus came, that he died on that cross to pay the punishment for our sins, and that his blood cleanses us, it cleans us, it makes us pure, so that we can stand before God, pure and holy, adopted into the family of God. If you haven't ever done that, I pray that you would talk to God and that you would believe today. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this sacrifice that you made. And I thank you for what happened because of it, that because you died, I can stand before God, holy, pure, and accepted to God, through you and you alone. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray that if anyone listening has never done that, that you would help them to understand, help them to give themselves to you. Lord, for those of us who have followed you and been following you for years or days or however long. Lord, I thank you for that and for your sacrifice. Lord, I thank you also that this is not the last chapter, that there is more to come, that you didn't stay in that tomb, but that you did come back to life, and that today you are seated in heaven with God. Thank you, Lord, that we have someone in heaven, in God's presence right now, who is making a way for us, who is interceding for us, speaking on our behalf, acting as our mediator, so that we can come before the throne of God. Lord, that's just more incredible than we can ask. So we thank you and praise you. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.